When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
There's vomit on his sweater already. Mom spaghetti. Maybe I'm nervous and maybe I will rap the rest of Eminem's, opus to being nervous on air. Welcome to Fantasy NBA Today, everybody. Aaron Brewski, your new interim but longer term host. This is quite a moment. I'm definitely filled with emotion because if you haven't heard the news about the show, why I'm the interim but probably longer-term host of this great show is the great Dan Bespris has moved on into a combination of personal ventures, both inside of fantasy and outside of fantasy, as his true calling in life, play-by-play, has come knocking on the door. He and I had a tearful goodbye episode on Friday. Tears were definitely shed. And if you don't know what that guy means to me and everybody else over here, well, then you really don't know sports ethos, but it's a lot, and I can speak for all of us in saying that we are all going to miss him dearly, and we're actually still going to be visiting with him as much as humanly possible as he continues podcasting on his own, both in the fantasy space for the Dodgers and the Lakers, and also for this wonderful game that we play here, Fantasy Hoops. In saying that we're all just kind of sort of trudging along, doing Dan's tasks that he would have done, it's a feeling that something massive is missing here. And at the same time, the show must go on, and it's a really exciting time. It's kind of one of those weird, sad news, good news kinds of a deals, because once we kind of figured all of this out, we had to think, all right, well, what are we going to do? And some of the thinking even behind the transition for Dan to go all the way independent was due to the recent growth of the site. And on the content and the business side, it's created some extraordinarily heavy workloads. And that's really saying something, as anybody who's really serious in this business or crazy enough to go for it, they're already doing a heavy workload. And the needs of the site in order to produce basically 24/7 content, it feels like, you really do have to have that, the ability to do that. So, as his play-by-play dreams came knocking, and we kind of realized that it would be better for not just him, but even, just for everybody involved to be able to, plug people into this matrix of sorts in this crazy industry in the right way, without us slowing him down or, trying to wedge a square peg into a round hole in terms of just being connected constantly. This way Dan can do his play-by-play gigs. He can, plug in to his available time, as he's a full-time father. It's, I have one, he has two. It is an incredible challenge, but it's a really great thing that we both get to be there for our kiddos. And when you add it all up, being able to jump into a pod and kind of do it whenever you need to, and, mix and match all those times, made sense for him. And then for us, we're actually, the good news, which I'm going to announce here in a second, we're really trying to take this thing all the way. So, you know, all of the folks involved over here are, they really got a big task ahead of them. Aside from the fact that you don't replace a Dan Bespris very easily, it might even be impossible. The needs of the network are just so great that the folks that are stepping in, you know, they really are kind of at the controls 24/7. God bless them. So it's a tough lift in the industry these days, and we're very happy to have them on board. And with this move, we can all kind of just go forward at full blast. And we're going to still have Dan on the show as much as possible. And, you know, we're going to be on his show as much as possible. And we're going to support him in every which way. And we really do miss him. Even this week, I think everybody's just sort of walking around the office a little bit more slowly. And but we'll make it. You know, Dan, if you're listening, I know this is a very sentimental moment. So I want you to know that I'm doing the read correctly. BetOnline is your number one source for all of your summer sports this season, from MLB, golf, NBA, and NHL playoff stats to all the latest stats. I'm not supposed to read the numbers. I know. Okay. Dan, I'm so sorry. I can do this. I promise you. All the latest stats, news, and scores available to follow your favorite teams. Get the latest odds and lines, including the latest team matchups, player props, odds, and oh my God, I'm terrible at this, on just about every sport out there. And head to the website today, or use your mobile device to get in on the action. Bet online, where the game starts. We'll definitely make it through the show without crying. Then the other piece of this is it's kind of a weird sort of pinch me moment, because, you know, you don't make it in this industry very often without somebody doing something for you and bringing you into something. And it kind of has morphed over time. I mean, now in this day and age of sort of influencer, you know, kind of stuff going on in the industry where you kind of don't really know, you know, how people get in, and they just kind of get in at some way, you know, grab a foothold somewhere here and there. But especially in the old days, you really did need somebody to sort of champion your cause. And, you know, for me, it was Steve Alexander, Dr. A, and, you know, just kind of plucked me out of nowhere. And I saddled up next to him and learned the business, and, was exposed to one of the great coaching trees in fantasy sports history, probably ever. When you look at the list of people who have gone on and done great things that started at NBC, Roto World, back when, you know, I guess the media landscape wasn't great, but you had these big companies that were making big investments, and, you know, they were usually TV websites that were connected to the leagues, and they have, and still have, a lot of incentive to put out great product, because when they negotiate with the leagues, they say, hey, these people stay on our website so much longer because we're all degenerates enjoying this same wonderful game that we're all playing. And the, you know, at that point in time, there was sort of this kind of central meeting place for a lot of us. And it feels like all of us who were playing fantasy hoops or fantasy football or whatever it was, probably lived on Roto-World. And maybe not too many other places. And Twitter actually wasn't even around when I started. You know, when we bring Steve in as the new co-host, maybe I'm burying the lead here, the new co-host of Fantasy NBA Today, you know, I'm going to try to get him to share as much of that stuff as possible, because some of that stuff is just absolutely fascinating to see where this industry started and where it is now. But the central meeting place aspect of it, you know, I would read these people, the Greg Rosenthals, the Adam Levitans, the Evan Silvas, you know, Matthew Pouliot. I wasn't a big baseball guy, so I'm probably butchering his name, sorry. And this website, Roto-World, was really, it was so high level. You know, I've got a lot of experience in business, and, you know, I see what good business looks like. And Roto-World was better than what most good business looks like. And when I showed up, you know, I think it took maybe 2 or 3 days before they were like, hey, Brew, I don't know if you got it in you, man. And it's kind of funny. You know, I've not really been told that too much in my life, because I've kind of fashioned myself to be a hard worker. And, you know, so it was a very humbling moment. You know, it kind of came down to writing, and writing really well, and writing really fast. But I quickly noticed that they didn't really suffer. I don't want to say fools, but they didn't really suffer much over there. You know, everybody was there to work and work hard, and they really wanted to be very good at their craft. So if something wasn't up to code, you were probably hearing about it within about a minute or two from a couple of people. And then nobody was mean about anything, but they were very focused on quality. And if you notice that coaching tree that's come from Roto World, everybody in that group has this eye for quality. And you go and you look at, you know, folks have branched out as I did. And you know, you look at like Establish the Run, you know, and Adam and Mike Gallagher and their crew, Evan Silva, Drew Dinkmeyer, you know, and look at the quality of the work that coaching tree, you know, produced over there. And Greg Rosenthal basically going on to be, you know, a major personality over at NFL Network, and Chris Wessling, who's no longer with us. Chris Wessling was a great mentor to me, and everybody just pulled for each other. And there was massive competition to see who could produce the most content or who could produce the best work. And it was this extraordinarily positive experience. And now, you know, however many years later, almost a decade later, I get to bring in, you know, the guy that trained me and the guy that just recently got elected into the Fantasy Sports Writer Hall of Fame. And, you know, how great is this? He and Steve and I had spent so many nights up late, basically talking hoops, talking fantasy, living and dying by our fantasy teams in real time. And then just also on the personal side, just getting to know him and being able to, you know, experience that. Now, a decade later, getting to bring him into a podcast that we're going to be hosting together. And what a great thing, because this industry really does need that, you know, that quality content from people who are experienced, who've been able to do that. You know, the amplification of kind of just random social media accounts these days, you know, and no shade on anybody that's trying to make it, but the algorithms and the kind of just the way you got to search through all the muck these days to really get to, you know, folks that are actually in this as a profession, that are in this, you know, 40 plus hours per week, who are really, really trying to work hard to deliver something sustainable to every piece of the chain, the listeners, the people who are going to consume the content, to the people who are going to produce the content. You know, for us, it's not about just getting our name in lights. You know, we've had our name in lights for years. And for us, it's about bringing the people who want to be a part of this, whether it's a customer or the producers, you know, and everybody in the middle, you know, bringing something that can actually generate sustainable income for everybody involved as this media landscape at large, from way up at the top to areas that we don't even touch, you know, the big, big tectonic plates that power this thing down to the individual producers of a niche little industry like fantasy hoops, making sure that everybody involved has a vision for the future other than, you know, get a bunch of likes or retweets on Twitter and, you know, maybe sort of plug in to some of those models out there. It's really important for everybody involved. And we are extraordinarily lucky to have the people that we have here at Sports Ethos participating with that. So it's a really emotional, tough day. You can kind of tell I'm yammering a little bit here, but the, you know, to pass the torch from the best podcaster, you know, the best fantasy NBA podcaster in the industry, you know, and somebody who's good enough. I wouldn't be surprised if you see Dan calling something on TV, you know, some NBA finals game one day or some Major League Baseball game, you know, playoff game one day. He really is that talented, and what he's brought to this show has been Herculean in so many ways. And you can see it in that almost 50 content producers out there, I don't know, I'm just making up a number, have copied his work. And the reason why they're copying it is it's extraordinarily good. So, you know, getting to pass the torch between Dan and then bringing in a Fantasy Sports Writers Association Hall of Famer. In fact, this guy had us put it into his contract that he has to be introduced as FSWA Hall of Famer, Steve Alexander, and then also, he put into his contract that nobody can look him in the eye, and I forget what the third one was, but I'm pretty sure legal has you covered, Steve. So
save big money on everything for your next project now at Menards. Spring is here, meaning time for outdoor projects. Cabot Australian Timber Oil is perfect for decks, siding, and outdoor furniture while providing maximum penetration, durability, and water repellency. Save big money on Cabot exterior stains to get your staining project started today, and check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money at
Menards. Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
And now, without further ado, I bring in the man, the myth, the legend, the man that says that I have to refer to him as a FSWA Hall of Famer for the rest of my life. I'm getting tired of typing these words, Steve. Every time I say hello, FSWA Hall of Famer, Steve Alexander. How are you doing, man?
Well, you know, my lawyers drive a hard bargain, and they are relentless. So
I know this.
Yeah. When you're negotiating with a heavy hitter like me, you know, I mean, we have to spell Giannis Antetokounmpo. Every time, and now we have to spell out Victor Wembanyama every time. I just figured, you know, FSWA, HOF, that's not too hard.
Yeah, they don't pay us by the letter in this industry, and some say if you can't pronounce the name, you don't know what you're talking about, Steve, so it was a little dangerous there, but welcome. Has anybody stared you directly in the eye, though, in the office? You let me know if they do that.
Yeah, I will keep you posted. I do have a famous, semi-famous, soon-to-be-famous story about an interaction I had with Bob Dylan one time where I was specifically instructed not to look at Bob Dylan's eyes if I saw him.
I just heard another one about a famous, very famous actor in a very famous franchise. I'm afraid to say this. I don't want to get like the poor guy who told me this story, but let's just say he's like a top three famous actor still alive. And if you mention that franchise to him, he will kick you out of wherever you're at.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, okay. All right.
Yeah,
we know what we're working with here.
I'm a little nervous that I just mentioned that gentleman's name. Now that I think about it, I was there. I saw it happen. It happened to me. I think I'm allowed to retell that story.
Well, you know, it's funny you mentioned stories because, like, one of the things I was just saying in the open is I really do want to spend time, you know, not all the time, but I really want folks, especially folks who are just coming to fantasy in the last couple of years that, you know, have only experienced the Twitter era of fantasy hoops, like what it was like back in the day, you know, all that stuff is absolutely fascinating, and how you started off, you know, kind of just taking a leap of faith. I swear you're like the 500th person in your age group to quote the movie Office Space. I feel like that movie influenced a lot of you guys, you know, joining up Roto World, following your passions. That's a very amazing story. In fact, why don't you tell listeners, just, you know, anybody, like, we've had you on various shows. Dan's had you on this show a bunch. But if you haven't had a chance to catch Doc in a while, what's going on? You know, tell listeners a little bit about your path to the industry.
Well, it all started sometime right around the year 2000. I know I saw Rick Kamla hosting a live fantasy basketball television show on NBA TV. I had just at that point started writing blurbs at Roto World for Matthew Pouliot, who hired me. Well, he didn't really hire me. He sent me an email and said, here's a login. Write some stuff on Tuesday. And if I like it, maybe we'll do it again the next Tuesday. No mention of money, no mention of anything. Didn't even speak to him on the phone. But that was after a couple months of bugging him. And so I started writing blurbs for Roto World. Saw Cam Law on TV. Matthew Berry left Roto World right around that time. So I was like, ooh, can I write a column? And they're like, yeah, we don't care. Nobody cares about fantasy basketball anyway. It's all about football and baseball. Plus, we're not paying you anything, so knock yourself out, kid. So I started writing a column. I called it my buddy Keelan and I tried to come up with a cool nickname because Matthew Berry was the talented Mr. Roto, you know, and I was like, ooh, I guess all these guys over at Roto World have nicknames. I need one of those. So we went with Dr. A instead of Dr. J, even though I'm not a doctor. I still don't even know how that happened. And I started writing a column called Ask Dr. A. Eventually, after a couple of years, they started paying me a little bit for my columns and my blurbage. And then one day my wife and I were just done with it. Indianapolis, Indiana. We were office space had influenced me. Human beings were not meant to sit in cubicles. I had a what I'll call a day job at the time, which was a real full-time job working at a mutual fund company. And I quit that. They thought I was insane. We moved to the middle of nowhere in Georgia, a town nobody's heard of. And I started basically working full-time for Roto World at that time. Then they got bought by NBC in 2006. Whole thing kind of blew up. I hired Brewski. I hired Mike Gallagher. I hired Ryan Canales. I hired a bunch of guys that have had huge success in the industry. And finally, the party came to an end about 2 years ago, a year and a half ago, got laid off by NBC. Along with several other people, including a lot of people I work with. Talked to you about maybe coming to work for you. Talked to RotoWire. Talked to ESPN. Ended up going an ESPN RotoWire kind of freelance route. I'm part of the crew, but I'm also flexible. And today, it's been announced officially, I guess, like Facebook relationship style, that I'm part of the Sports Ethos podcast team, and I've been getting tweets and texts and messages, and pretty cool day.
Yeah, I was in my open. I didn't shed a tear today. Shed a tear on Friday, saying goodbye to the great Dan Bespris, and then I turn around and I get to have my mentor, you know, co-host a pod with me. That's stupid world we live in.
And also props to Dan. Dan was awesome. Dan and I had an epic battle in 30 deep for the championship this year. Dan and I were podcasting buddies, always super cool to me. I feel like I was pretty cool to him too. And we got along really well. So, pretty weird replacing Dan, but, I'm sure he's going on to do something much more exciting than what you and I are doing.
You know, he is, and it's he's a great talent, and I've done enough crying and saying nice things about Dan. Hello, Dan. It's just, I mean, this industry is just crazy, and the fact that we get to do this here is it's like a dream come true. You know, I've missed working with you. I missed your smell. I missed your musk. And, you know, we're going to basically with this show, we're going to just carry on the tradition of the show. It's a high level, you know, show where, you know, everybody on it knows what they're talking about. Here during the off season, we're going to probably talk like today. We'll probably talk a little bit of playoff talk. We're going to talk Wembanyama. I don't know how you can talk about fantasy hoops without talking about that guy right now. And then we'll probably do some look back shows where we look back at this last season and really do the work that, you know, I know that I like to do, you know, just kind of reviewing everything that happened. And yeah, I guess let's push this boat off into the water, Steve. Push.
Yeah, the guys at RotoWire are like, hey, dude, we don't want to hear how your weekend was. We don't really, no one wants to kick this off with a story. We want you to dive straight in to hoops.
Oh, no.
And I'm like, absolutely, let's do it. And so I just get in and go now. We go straight hoops. I tend to save story time for the end. People want their, who do I bet on and who's going to go off tonight. And
we've gotten that feedback. Oh yeah. We've got
who's my DFS play. But you know, some people also tune in to some of my things, hopefully to laugh and yours as well. So it'll be interesting to see, how we go.
We're going to try to balance it out, I think, because we get complaints whenever we take 2 minutes to talk about anything. But like you said, give me the IV in my bloodstream. Tell me who to pick up. Tell me who to drop. Tell me who to bet on. We'll balance that with the stories. And I can't say enough. We get just as many emails about, hey, I'm so glad that you guys talked about whatever that thing was. So it's a balance, and we'll try to do our best. But, you know, let's talk some Victor Wembanyama, because you know, I went a little light on him this year. And when I say light, I don't know what I had him ranked. I had him pretty high. I want to say late second round-ish. That didn't work out, really. and when we started back in the day in RotoWorld, you used to talk to me about getting Michael Jordan getting banned in fantasy leagues. Mm-hmm. And that's where my mind went probably about 5 days into the season, I want to say. Is what are we working with here? So I know you took Mr. Wembanyama to a 30 deep title, so congrats to you. That's an extraordinarily tough league to win, by the way. And that's your second title, right?
Yes.
That's I've got zero titles in that league. I think made the finals and the semis. But never the bride.
It's a very hard league to win.
It's very hard. But Wembanyama, like, where are you at with him? Is he an instant ban candidate going forward, or how are you working with that?
Well, when you first started talking about this, I thought you were going to say, now I remember back in the day, you used to tell me, and I thought you were going to say that you don't mess with rookies. Mm. Because I really used to not mess with rookies, but dude, I've been so fired up about Wembanyama's arrival in the NBA for the last 2 years that I went blind passion Luka, because I love Luka. Like when Luka got drafted by the Hawks, it was the greatest 12 seconds of my life. But then he was dealt to the Mavericks, and that was painful. But I was so fired up about Wemby coming in. I put all of my eggs in the Wemby basket, and I drafted him in every single league I was in.
Oh my God.
If I drafted late in the first, I took him. If I drafted early in the second, I was taking him. I had him in my two biggest leagues, 30 deep in rock and roll. I still couldn't beat Malcolmus in rock and roll and his auto draft team that had like LeBron, Kawhi, and who's the other? Harden. Like he had all the old guys, Davis, like all the guys. Everybody's drafting young Bucks, and Malcolmus was on auto draft, and he just kept picking up all these old guys, and they all played this year because this was the season of the anti resting establishment. So there was no rest this year until the playoffs got here for Jimmy and Kawhi. But to go back to it, I just drafted Wemby everywhere, and he changes the game, and it's the blocks and the threes and everything else. It just makes it not fair. So this year he was a rookie. They held him out of like a game every other week, it seemed like. He had a lot of four-game weeks that turned into three-game weeks. So they babied him a little bit. They didn't really know what they have. The scary thing is they didn't even really run plays for him. And now, so we're going to get full-blown Wembanyama next year. I don't think he's going to get banned from any leagues this coming season. But he's going to dominate. If he stays healthy, his managers are going to dominate fantasy basketball. They're going to win every, and it'll be the year after that where people start going, well, whoever gets Wemby is going to win our league, so I don't even know why we're doing this. And then somebody else is going to go, well, let's ban Wemby. And then it'll be on.
And if you're hearing that, I mean, that just kind of says, like, do anything you can to get him next year, because that's probably the last year you're going to play. And if you have fantasy GMs that are willing to ban him, 21 points, 10 rebounds, 4 assists, 3.6 blocks, 1.2 steals. That's just absurd. 46% shooting, 32.5 from 3. 80 from the line. I mean, we're really talking like no holes. In fact, the only reason that field goal percentage is so low is because of all those threes he's taking.
And dude, that's a rookie season with everybody at the beginning. Oh, this dude's too skinny. He plays for Pop. He doesn't have any teammates. Like, there were so many factors stacked up against him this year, and he still did all that. Well, now he's going to come back. He's going to have 15, 20 pounds of muscle. He may be another inch taller. Who knows, dude? Is he even done growing? I don't know. It's just frightening.
And he carries himself so well. I mean, I don't know if you got a chance to see the picture of him stretching. This guy is like a yoga fanatic is what it looks like. And that flexibility, it really does matter. You know, it's going to protect him when he falls, and you know, all the different, you know, PT stuff that's out there.
And you know, I think him being lighter is good for, it's good for his knees, it's good for his feet. You have all these casualty big man stories, Greg Oden, Ziggy Algauskas, I mean, all these Yao Ming, all these guys whose feet just could never hold up under their massive weight. And Wemby's out there whipping around like Spider-Man.
I hadn't heard that one. That's he kind of does look like.
I hadn't said it before either. Well, I don't even know where that came from.
If that's the new nickname, you got it here first. I think in one of our high stakes leagues where it's an auction format, $200 budget. I mean, he might go for 100. I don't know. I really don't know. We've never seen anything like normally. Like the Jokic tier goes for around 70 plus. In a format like that. And then you need to fill out 15 additional spots with your roster with the remaining money. And it's worked out plenty of times in the past for people, stars and scrubs. How high does Victor, how much would you pay in that format, Steve? If
dude,
I'm stars and scrubs.
I'm so bad at stars and scrubs. Every year I try it. Every year I feel like I've got this, you know, I know more about scrubs than anybody else in the world. I'm in the Fantasy Sports Writers Hall of Fame, of course. I'm just kidding. But I always feel like I do have a good
sense
of, you know, how deep the leagues go and what, you know, what, like I drafted Coby White this year in a bunch of leagues, including 30 deep. He was another huge piece to that puzzle. But you can't get lucky and hit on Coby White every year. There's going to be years where you draft Coby White and he's not good. So you got to be lucky in fantasy hoops. But as far as how much money would I spend on Wembanyama? I mean, I think the most I've ever seen anybody go for in one of those leagues is like $80, $81, somewhere in there. So if we're talking 90 to 95, that's rare air. And I think people are going to be like, depending on the format and the stats, people are going to be like, I need this guy on my team. I'm not stopping until I get him. And I'm just going to go until whatever it takes.
It almost doesn't matter at that point. You know, if you go to 90, let's say you go to 80 or you go to 90, you're putting your entire hope on that. And if he gets hurt, you're done. So,
and it does matter at the end when you're down to the dollar picks.
Yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
You just keep getting pimped for round after round after round. You're like, oh my gosh, I should have saved that $4 back there. I would have had that guy. But you're right. It doesn't really matter because by that point, you've already got a good team or you're toast.
If it goes for, I'll let everybody know. But if it goes for over 100, that's just absurd, because I don't think anybody's gone for probably more than like 74 or something like that. And you know, that's like a Jokic. Jokic is a historic value. I mean, he's you know, his field goal percentage alone is one of the most amazing things I've ever seen. I get just in awe of like what. I mean, there's probably going to have to be some kind of a rule change. I just don't know what it would be if he's really that dominant at the NBA level. And maybe that would take place after like five titles or something. I don't know. But he's that ability to put the ball on the ground and, you know, the high release point. I mean, just you get to that unstoppable Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, but with every single tool that's out there.
The release point. Yeah, nobody can get there. No one. And it's not just on a sky hook. It's on every single thing he does.
It's like a spin move with a scoop layup, you know, that a guard would do. He's got.
Yeah. And the other day, like in one of his final games this season, one of his last acts was he was sort of falling down and he whipped this behind the back pass to an open someone in the corner and they weren't even ready for it. Like, it didn't hit him in the face, but it came
might
close.
Might as well have. And they're just sitting there watching it just like a fan would probably. It's fascinating stuff. And we're going to, in our next show for tomorrow, we're going to talk about some of the stories, the fantasy stories of this last season. And maybe we'll drop a little bit more in there for Wemby. But we took a little bit of time here introducing Steve and then on the intro talking about what's going on with the show. Let's get some playoff talk in, if you don't mind. I guess we'll do Minnesota at Denver first. That's the first on our list. I always like to save the best for last, but who knows? Maybe tucked away at the end of the podcast is the worst time for that. I'm watching Anthony Davis and getting the same almost. It's weird. So we're talking about who's the best player in the NBA right now. And in my mind, it's just easy to say it's Jokic. And then, you know, somebody's got to take it away. Here comes Anthony Edwards. And I'm watching him and I'm going, man, he might be the best player in the NBA. And I've been saying that all season, especially during some of these amazing highlights. And so we're talking about somebody game-changing in Wemby who might need a year to compete for that title, I guess. I don't know. But we're getting a question answered, I guess, right now in this series with the two, number one, number two, if you want to call them that, players playing against each other in the playoffs right now. There's a lot here, so I'll just say, where are you at with this? Where are you at with Anthony Edwards, and where are you at with this series?
It's funny because Kurian Sprecher and I do a podcast on Tuesdays. And about 2 months ago, he's like, you know, I think Anthony Edwards should get votes for MVP. And I was like, yeah, I do too. Why is no one talking about Anthony Edwards and this great season he's having? And at the beginning of the fantasy season, like you, I was like, this is the year that Anthony Edwards takes over NBA basketball. Like he and Wemby are the next two guys, and they are going to take over the entire league. But it never really happened, right? And, I mean, Edwards had the big dunk, and he had the big block against the Pacers, which is still one of the most incredible things I've ever seen. And
Ever.
And then the playoffs get here, and he suddenly transforms right in front of our eyes into Kobe Bryant, into Michael Jordan. All the Jordan rumors are out there now. He's got kids in the NBA. He's juking and going at people and talking trash to old men like Kevin Durant. He's made the NBA super fun again. He is that dog. He is the alpha male now. And I don't know why he didn't do this in November, but he certainly did it in March or April, somewhere around there. And I'm all in, dude. I love the Anthony Edwards story. I love the fact he went to Georgia. I love the Timberwolves. I want them to destroy the Nuggets. I'm all in.
You know what? Okay, so I'm super pissed. I don't have an account with DraftKings because I got too much going on, and I'm using their site to understand the futures odds because I'm doing this betting journal over at Ethos Wagering. And so they had this bet, though. It was plus 100,000 that Minnesota would run the table all 16 games in the playoffs. And I'm like, haha, I don't have time. I'm not going to do that. And I did take Minnesota to win in game one. And of the Denver series and watching how easily, and I felt like Minnesota didn't play well even in that game.
Oh, they shot terribly.
Yeah, I think I was like, they could have won by a lot more. And I'm sitting there going, man, I messed up because $5 on that would be whatever the math is. It's a lot of money, 50,000, wow. I believe. So I went back and I was like, I need to take that. I'll sign up for an account. I don't care. I don't even know if it's okay in my state. I'm just going to go do it. And the thing is gone. You can't get that bet anymore. And no. I'm very sad. But the thing about Anthony Edwards that impresses me the most is it he like doesn't waste any motion. So he's got this elite physical game. But like as he's just sitting there dribbling, you're watching him and you're like waiting for maybe, okay, he's too big to have great handles. Oh, no, he's got great handles. Oh, he's just kind of moving wherever he wants to, gliding along the floor as easily as humanly possible. Well, he's not wasting space or, you know, any movement with any dribble. You know, it's just straight line, straight line, straight line. And then making all the right decisions at all the right times. That wasn't really the book on him coming out of college. I think a lot of people thought, eh, maybe this guy's got an ego. Maybe he's going to, you know, shoot too much or whatever was going on with that. But, like, I mean, all the leadership notes, it feels like he's hitting.
Every single thing that comes out of his mouth right now is perfect. I want to kill everything in front of me. Well, your teammates weren't shooting well the other night. If they're open, I'm passing it to them every time because I see the work they put in. Like, dude, those are the things that are coming out of his mouth. And like Kevin Durant talking so much trash to him, embarrassing him, really, belittling him. But then coming out after game, when the microphones are on, the cameras are on, he's like, he's my favorite player of all time. I love that man. We're just out there having fun. And, dude, he is a dog.
Well, and he took the leadership of the team last year, probably before the playoffs, probably the day he walked into the room. But that team, when they picked up Mike Conley, that was the best thing that ever happened to that squad because it felt like they took it from a cat team to an Anthony Edwards leadership-driven team. And Cat and his crazy fouling antics, you know, and whatever the heck's going on in that dude's head at a given moment, he's just now a piece, you know? So this is completely Anthony Edwards' team. And it's behind the paywall at Ethos Wagering, but I took Minnesota again tonight.
Well, dude, and how much of a problem are the Timberwolves for Nikola Jokic? Who else has Cat and Gobert to throw out there?
And I got to be full disclosure about this. I mean, I was as critical of the trade for Gobert as anybody, but what he has done is gotten light on his feet. It's like he knew he was going to play with another big, so stop building up for muscle. I'm going to get as light as possible. And then you have Jaden McDaniels, Anthony Edwards, and Mike Conley sitting out there on the perimeter, just mucking it all up, creating hell. And Anthony Edwards can shut down anybody in the league. That's the other part of this, like defensively. So those guys
and,
in the back.
And no one can guard him. Denver has nobody even to guard Anthony Edwards. I mean, you're going to try it with Aaron Gordon, and you're going to try it with Michael Porter Jr., but, you've seen this guy. He doesn't. Like you said, his feet are moving in one direction. The ball's going in the other direction, and the defender is on their heels at all times. Like, I don't know how you stop.
Open the door to big savings with a brand new look with Larson Doors. Now at Menards. Whether you're looking for traditional, modern, or a screen door, Larson Storm Doors are perfect to enjoy the fresh spring air. They come in over 40 styles of storm doors to choose from. Check out all Larson Storm Door options in store and find more great deals in our weekly flyer on Menards.com. Save big money at
Menards. The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
It's and to your point about the Jokic thing, like, that's scary for Denver because he can beat both of those guys, and you know, you kind of saw it in the last game, but he can't beat him like he's beating everybody else. And everybody, he's not getting easy everything for everybody on the floor at a given time. And then on the other side, you got Jamal Murray having to contend with Anthony Edwards or any of those other guys I listed. I think it's scary hours for Denver. I think the pressure's on them tonight. They probably play with their pants on fire. But you know, I think from an odds standpoint, the betting world is still treating Denver like they're, you know, kind of like the favorite. And I know they're not the favorite in this series right now, but kind of treating them like this is a premium team that, you know, they're going to come back. They're not going to go down 0-2 at home. Well, they're not the better team here. And it might not be close. And that's scary time. So, yeah.
Yeah. And I'm kind of mad because I got, I parlayed the Pacers and Wolves tonight.
Ooh, interesting.
And I got 5.5 on both. And it looks like if I did it now, I'd get 6.5. I feel a lot better about.
Is that, I have not looked at the number shift today because the next series, this is also, to me, I mean, aside from the classic history of it, which you saw Indiana's Twitter team kind of put Reggie Miller in a picture with the choke sign. And, you know, this is just great rivals from long times ago going at it here. I'm actually taking New York in this one. I'm not feeling great about it. And I've been pretty bad this betting season on sides so far. Picked up a little momentum here lately. I thought the first round there was just a lot of toss-up bets, and I'm just kind of throwing bets out there because I know our people want to see bets. This one really does fall into that category for me. Indiana, New York. I guess what are your initial thoughts before I just kind of yammer on about these guys? Why do you like Indiana tonight?
Well, I don't necessarily like Indiana tonight. I think I'm going. This is a fate. This is trying to get some money back because Sierra Leone lost the Kentucky Derby by a nose. That's who I had winning the Kentucky Derby. So I'm down. So I gotta get that back. So then I threw money at the underdog Magic, the Orlando Magic. That didn't work out. So now we're in the final act of this.
This fate filled.
Is going to be the underdog Pacers and the underdog Wolves tonight. That is why it's just underdogs. We're either going to win or we're going to lose. And it's all underdogs all the time. But what's cool about this series for me is I'm from Indianapolis. I was in Indianapolis for all the heyday Pacer and Knicks throwdowns with and the history with Spike Lee and Reggie Miller and all John Starks and Anthony Mason and Horace Grant. And it's like just not Horace Grant. Who's the other? Who am I thinking of? It doesn't matter.
Larry Johnson.
No. Yeah. Larry was in New York for a while. Yeah. The big dude that's friends with Jordan that did all the dirty work. Why can't I think of this guy's name?
I have so many problems with NBA history. I feel like I stuff too much stuff in my brain on an annual basis that if you ask me who won the championship 3 years ago, I might not be able to answer you.
I'm too old. I can see. I see faces. But anyway, he's just Knicks, dude. It's as throwback and old school as you and I being here together. And it's as cool as that, because the last time the Knicks and Pacers played each other in a meaningful postseason game might have been when you and I were working together 10 or 15 years ago. Who knows? But I'm super excited about it. Now, my brother-in-law, Sam, texted me today because I think he's over there at the – probably over there at the horse track looking to make him a little wager. He said, do you think the Pacers will win tonight? And I said, I got them in the 5.5 points – but I feel like New York is the better team. And I think that sums it up. I really like this Pacers team. I really hope this Pacers team is better than the Knicks, I'm going to homer them up and hope that they win. But I just feel like Thibodeau and his minutes and his coaching and Jalen Brunson being such a monster and some of these other – Josh Hart is out of his mind. Isaiah Hartenstein is really good. I just feel like the Knicks team's a little better, plus they have home court.
That Hartenstein angle is really interesting because Miles Turner killed the Bucks. And if he can get dribble drives to the basket and then also just shoot those threes, that's the other engine that they won't, that they might not have. Siakam versus OG Anunoby is interesting. Anunoby looks slow to me because of the time off. And then Siakam looks pretty spry. So I wonder if he'll win that matchup. And then the guards are just a crapshoot. You know, the stuff that worked against Brunson in the last series was like Kelly Oubre and Nick Batum with all that length just dogging him the entire game, doing a great job, especially Kelly Oubre. Oubre, I thought, pretty much bottled up Brunson in the first two games, and then they started kind of slowly figure it out after that. Those backcourts, I mean, Indy's got a lot of good young players kind of all over the place, like Andrew Nembhard. Is playing decent ball and defends really well, so that could help.
He's going to be guarding Brunson, I think.
I think so. Yeah, and they'll probably do a lot of switching and kind of try to give him different looks. But even when you get deep into the front court, you've got Aaron Nesmith that's athletic, so he's going to be able to do some of the switching onto Brunson. And the way I look at it with Brunson is like he just needs the little tiniest bit of airspace to be able to do his stuff. So if guys are just a little bit late, if they're, if they let the moment get to them, they're in Madison Square Garden and, they're down by 10 or something and the crowd's rocking, like that could be something for Indy that might make them struggle. But I'm not sure of my own bet of New York -6. And I guess I don't give Indiana no chance. Do you give Indiana a chance of winning this series at all?
Oh, yeah. I think I picked them to win.
Okay.
I think I had the Knicks getting beat by Philly.
Yeah. I mean,
which was dumb.
But it almost happened. Like, true. If they didn't, what was it? They were down by 8 or something. And then they won. If that didn't happen, it's a completely different series.
You're right. But I tell you what, I love this Pacers team. It's weird seeing Rick Carlisle coaching a fun team, right? Like, he's always so angry and so defensive. And I mean, Pacers get out there and run, dude. Like, they move. And the Knicks can move with them. Like, I'm telling you, I feel like this is going to be one of those epic old school Eastern Conference battles that goes 7 games.
Well, then on the other side, you get a Boston side with no Kristaps Porzingis, and Cleveland just snuck by. I had a lot on Orlando somehow either covering and or winning that series, and I parted ways with it mentally because of the first two games. I was like, okay, all that was dumb. Shouldn't have done any of that. And then they just slowly chipped away and came back. So it'll be fun to see.
And then had an 18-point lead.
Oh, man, and choked it.
Sunday.
Franz Wagner, what were you
thinking? Come on,
man. That was really rough to watch. He's usually much better than what we saw in that series there, but yikes. Other than that, we're going to probably touch base on Tuesday's game. Actually, we've got two games we could touch base on. We're going to talk also for tomorrow's episode about big fantasy stories for last season, and there's a lot of ground to cover there, so we're only going to just be able to do a little bit of what the stories were. But, Steve, let's call this episode a wrap. Did you have anything else you wanted to add before we check out?
I do not. That was quick. It was fun. Let's do it again.
All right. Okay, so you can follow the show online at Ethos Fantasy NBA. You can follow Doc at Dr. A, D-O-C-K. T-O-R-A, and myself at Aaron Bruski, A-A-R-O-N-B-R-U-S-K-I, and we will see you guys tomorrow.
Peace.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.